Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Father in heaven, we pray that once again, through your word, your Holy Spirit will speak. And grant, Father, that we may understand who this Lord really is, that he is not one of many, but that he is a God incarnate, the Savior of the world, and the Lord of lords and King of kings. May that be the conviction that comes from the bottom of our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, the Advent message is very confrontational. That is, it brings us, if we will permit it to, face to face with common religious statements that you and I hear every day. One of these statements is Jesus the only one? Is Jesus only one of many religious leaders? Is it not true that we have these other people and they are very prominent in their culture? They have helped to shape it. Are they not equal with Christ? That's the question that we are confronted with. One of our ushers was telling me just between the two services that he had been confronted with that statement only the other day, that there are all kinds of religious leaders in this world, and Jesus Christ is only one. I'm sure that I'm not being fair to these other religious leaders, but let me just give you a summary that I think is fair, and then you ask yourself, do you think on the basis of what you know, that these people are equal to Christ, the God incarnate? Buddha. Buddha has millions of followers. He was born about 500 years before Christ. They don't know exactly when, but about 500 years before Christ in India. His family was of the upper caste. He was very, very wealthy. But as life went along, the Buddha was not happy with that. And so he left. And he wandered all over India trying to find out what was the truth. One day, as he sat under a Bo tree, he had a revelation. He was enlightened. And so he began to take some of these enlightening thoughts and put them on paper. And this was repeated again and again until finally he began to preach some of these philosophical statements that primarily dealt, and I have not read any of them, but I'm told that they dealt primarily with the way one lives. They then began to follow the Buddha. It wasn't long before he had many, many followers, and he then organized them into communities of monks. The monks became the evangelists. They went out into the highways and the byways and told people what the Buddha had said. Today, primarily in the Orient, but certainly all over the world, and not least here in the United States, there are millions of people who, when you ask their religious affiliation, say, "We are Buddhist." Now, we have to ask ourselves the question, is this man, the Buddha, who lived and died in 483 before Christ in Nepal, Is he an equal to the Lord Jesus, who claims to be the God incarnate and the only Savior of the world? Do you believe that those who go around and say it doesn't matter who you believe in, just that you are sincere, are right? Now we make that very personal. Let's say that you have a father or mother, a son or a daughter, who says the Christian faith is altogether too narrow. One religion is as good as another, just as long as you really believe it. That's confrontational when I ask you from the Word of God, is that right that Jesus is only one of many religious leaders? Muhammad. Muhammad lived 500 years approximately after Christ, born in the Mideast. And he too was a very, very wealthy person. He had been very successful as a merchant. He married, had two sons and four daughters, and I don't know what happened to that marriage, but from there on there were others that spun off from it. When he was about 40 years of age, Gabriel, according to Muhammad, gave him a revelation, not one, but many, and told Muhammad that he was to go and preach. He then gave him some revelations. These revelations were bound together in a book which has become known as the Quran. And the Quran is a sacred book of the Muslims. There are now more Muslims in the United States than there are Episcopalians. So you and I live with them every day. They can be our friends. We can love them. That's not the point. Is Muhammad equal to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're in a group today and they say, well, it doesn't matter who you believe in, just that you're sincere, do you say, yeah, I guess that's right? Moses. Moses, who lived 1,600 years before Christ. Now we get into the Old Testament, and if you're acquainted with the Old Testament at all, you remember how he escaped the massacre of the Pharaoh out of Egypt, how he was going to have every boy from Israel killed by throwing them into the Nile. And you remember how God spared Moses, we'll not get into the details of that, and he grew up there in Egypt to become the leader of Israel, God's appointed leader. Finally led Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that God revealed to Moses the Ten Commandments, that which we have as our basic code of ethics in Western civilization yet today, together with a lot of ceremonial laws that we in Christianity obviously do not accept since the days of Jesus. That's Moses. Moses was the one who gave the law. Was the law good? The law was good, but it did not justify. It had no healing power. It could bring guilt and tear you apart. But there was no balm in Gilead. There was nothing to bind up to spiritual wound. There was no forgiveness. St. Paul has told us very well in his letter to the Galatians exactly what the law is for. The law, he says in this particular chapter, chapter 3, verse 24, the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. In other words, another translation has it, it is our custodian to lead us to Christ. It is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. If I don't have the law, then what do I have to compare myself with? That's what our society is saying today. We don't need a law. That's our problem. That's what our immorality is from. If you have no particular ethical code, no absolutes whatsoever, we are a destitute country, and that's exactly what we are. Who can call sin, sin in America today? Right away, you're prejudiced and threatened with a lawsuit. The Moses gave us the law, came from God, of course. And as I examine myself in the light of that law, it can only bring me to my knees, and I can only cry out to Christ, take my sins away. That's the purpose of the law. It's good, but it is not enough. Then may I ask the question, if that is all that Moses could give us was the law, can you compare Jesus with Moses? Well, our text today that was read for us by Pastor Colfet comes from that first chapter of John's Gospel again, verse 17, just that one verse. For the law came by Moses. Grace, look at that word, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come into the world to destroy the law, he told us. Not at all. I'm sure that if he were here preaching to you today, he would say there are elements of truth that are found in both the teachings of Muhammad and Buddha. But what those religions lack, and every religion except our Christian faith, is that word grace. Grace. God, who reaches down to me and grants me the forgiveness of my sins. The God who does not ask me to seek him out, but the God who first comes down and confronts me where I am with all of my pain and all of my concern. That's grace. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives. One of the greatest heresies, I believe the worst heresy that we have in the Christian faith today, is when we reduce Christianity to moralism. When we make Christianity nothing more than a law religion, we have denied Christ. When I am told that, well, I really like the Ten Commandments and I like the Golden Rule, but that's as far as I have to go, there is not much Christianity in that. And friend, if all that we have, if all that you really hold on to in your Christian faith is the law, the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule, then I say it doesn't matter whether you worship Muhammad or who you worship, because Muhammad gave us that. And that's what the Muslims are saying to us today. We accept Jesus as a prophet. Why will you not accept Muhammad? But what they don't understand is that it is Christ alone who offers us grace. Never let your Christianity be reduced to moralism. Never let it be reduced to a law religion. Always put the emphasis on grace. Grace that brings us the forgiveness of our sins. Grace with which we can start the new day. Grace with which we can close the day. Grace that we can receive as a little child. Grace that goes with us until we breathe our last breath. The Savior who comes into our presence and says, I declare unto you the forgiveness of all of your sins. And does not ask us to seek him out in that sense of the word that we're trying to appease an angry God. But the grace that stands there saying, I love you, my child. That's the Christian faith. It's best seen, I believe, or one great example at least, is in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. They brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in the very act of adultery. You know the story well, but let's just briefly go over it. They stood her in front of Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now in verse 5 it says, in the law, this is what Moses can do. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him begin stoning her. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Now notice, then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go now and sin no more. That's grace. She doesn't have to do a single solitary thing. All she has to do is receive the Lord's promise, receive him, let him turn her life around so that she does not live as an adulteress again. And God forgives. Can you imagine Muhammad giving that message? Can you imagine those poor Buddhist people who try to appease this God or many gods that they have? No. Only Christ. He is not one of many. He alone is a God of grace. Strength to face the difficult times of the day, as well as to face the good times of the day. That's grace. This is a happy time of the year, and you're going to have many of your family with you. You're going to have a good time, at least many of you are. I understand how emotional it is, too, but we have to emphasize the happiness of this day and age, the blessings that we have. I tell you, people, don't take them for granted. Those blessings are not necessarily something that we deserve. We have not earned them. They have come to us by God's grace. If you have lived through a year and you still have your own and you're still happy and you're still well and everything is going along fine, realize that that is God's great gift to you. That's grace. But when those good days turn to bad days, His grace is still there. Can you imagine a disciple of Buddha writing as St. Paul did in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13? No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. In other words, when the tough blows of life come, don't sit around and say, why me? Just look around. We sat the other morning in a staff meeting. I imagine if we were all there, there were 17 or 18 of us. And finally, it's a time when we can pour out our hearts to one another. It's a marvelous time that we have every Wednesday morning. And one after another began to tell their hurts. It was really a touching time. It was an emotional time. It was a time when some tears were shed. You know, we're never just alone. There are all kinds of these difficult times. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. That's a part of this broken, fallen, old world. If you and I think that it's always going to go just the way we want it to go here, we're wrong. What's the cause of it? The cause of it is sin, which has broken this world and made everything imperfect. That's where we are. Let's get it out of our head that we deserve so much more. We don't. We're a part of this world. It's not that we're any worse sinners or any better people. We are all standing there in need of the grace of God. But because we are a part of this world and because we can get chicken pox, we can also get some other things. But no matter how difficult it may be, listen to this. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That, my friend, is grace. When you can just feel the arms of God hold you up, send you on your way, give you new hope. Can you imagine old Muhammad saying that to his people? There is no sign of hope in Islam. And yet people will die for that, as they're dying for it in our day in Bosnia. That's all that's about over there. The one person that I have heard was a lady, an elderly lady, who spent most of her years before coming to Canada describing what was going on in that part of the world. It's nothing but a religious war. It's the Muslims and the Christians who are at it. And they'll die for Muhammad, as we will die for Christ. Are they equal? There's no grace in Islam. There's no grace in Buddhism. There's no grace. There would be if they would only understand it. But in most cases in Judaism, there is no grace. You talk to your Jewish friends about grace, they don't understand it. Not their fault. They don't understand it. So, friend, Advent is a time of confrontation. And as the days in this pulpit begin to get fewer and fewer, I get bolder and bolder. I divide you into two groups this morning. I'm not the judge. God is a judge. You may be divided in your home. You may be divided as husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters. You may be divided in your circle of friends. But the two groups that I refer to are the believers and the unbelievers, the saved and the lost. It's as black and white as that. Those who have experienced God's grace and those who have not. And I first would like to talk to you, and you know, I'm not judging a person. But if you don't know what grace is all about, you have so much to experience again. If you don't know a God who in Jesus Christ has come into this world, suffered and died and been raised again, and who the first thing in the morning says to you, another day. And the last thing at night says to you, your sins are forgiven. Then you have a great experience before you. Jesus Christ, who is not one of many, has given us this inspired word. And this morning, he's given it to this old preacher. And he's put into my heart a burning message. Tell those people that I love them. Tell them that I died for them. Tell them that I reached down into their hearts and I want to walk into those hearts today. Ask them to open that door and let me in. That is the appeal. We don't have altar calls. I wish we did. We don't. I won't upset anybody. But in your pew, you can turn your life over to Jesus Christ right now. And I would imagine in a group like this, together with a packed house at the first service, I preach to many who don't know Christ. You might belong to this church or some other church. You might have been baptized and confirmed. You might not have the story, the confession of a Pam and Jim Maxey. You need Christ. Let him in. And when you let him in, then you go home and you pick up the Gospel of John and you begin to read it. And when you get done with John, then turn to Luke, because it's Christmas. That's a good Christmas gospel. And read it. And then you go to one of these community groups on Sunday morning, or to one of our Bible studies on Thursday night, or find a small group and just begin to study the scriptures. Find out what God is saying to you. You say, I'm too busy. No, you aren't too busy. Your eternal state is dependent on this, friend. All of eternity, you're not too busy. And the Holy Spirit who worked in the lives of these two young people and has worked in the lives of millions of others, can work in your life. He's not one of many. The other part of the picture are those of us who by God's grace have walked with him for a long time. You know what it is. You know what that forgiveness is. You know what that strength is. When you think you can't go another step. And there you can. That's grace. We need to share it. please, people, please don't sit by and let people reduce your Christian faith to a law religion, to moralism. Stand up and be counted and say you don't understand what Christianity is. Give them the verse that we have for our text today. The law came through Moses. Do you want to know what we have in Christianity? Do you want to know what we have in Nazareth Church? We have the message of grace. Come and hear it. We're under command from God to do that. And if this week or any other week you hear somebody say, Jesus Christ is just another one of the great religious leaders, then I hope that you will have enough loyalty to Jesus Christ to turn around and say, not so. Jesus Christ is a God incarnate, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. You'll not be liked for that. But that's what he calls you to do this day. Courses in religions of the world will say, well, there are many great religious leaders, and there are many great religions that have influenced the culture of which they are a part. So take your choice and believe whatever you want to. But it is written in the Word of God, not so. The law came from Moses, but grace and truth comes from Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged. Started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.